As we just heard, cybersecurity practice by contractors, it's a big concern for government buyers. Another worry is the integrity of parts, mainly integrated circuits, that are used by electronics manufacturers and distributors selling to the government. Now, the requirement to ensure supply chain security was written into the last couple of defense authorization bills. Vince Crisler is a partner at Fortless Solutions and CEO of Dark Cubed. He joins me now with more on how to implement supply chain cybersecurity. Vince, good to have you on.
Hey, how are you today?
All right. So why don't you review for us what the supply chain requirements are right now? And are they only, they're not necessarily just cybersecurity. They could just be counterfeit, phony parts that fail and the system crashes.
Yeah, so this is a, I love this topic for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. It's one of these thorny, difficult, challenging issues that's really hard to understand just because there are so many parts and pieces, as you just alluded to. You know, when I think about supply chain risk and the requirements put on it, I really, you know, there's a bright line between those systems that may be classified government systems and everything else. And then there's also this dividing line between this, between the supply chain risk that we're worried about, between counterfeit or reused parts that may have potentially unwanted effects related to them, or where we're talking about systems where an adversary has managed to infiltrate the supply chain and actually embed malicious hardware or software to achieve some sort of intelligence or operational goal.
And so can we assume then that EEPROMs and double EEPROM chips are still widely used in systems?
Yeah, so as we get down...
I know the acronym. We'll see if anyone else does.
This is a great issue where you start to lose people. I think the key point here, and you know, last time we talked, we mentioned this, is this idea that you have to assume that, you know, if an adversary has control over your supply chain, that they can embed hardware or software into the systems that you're buying, and it is very likely you'll have no way of discovering that they're there. And so when we're talking about managing this risk, it's really understanding, you know, if the system I'm buying, if I care that an adversary has been able to embed something in the BIOS or EEPROM or whatever in the system that I'm buying, and they can cause something to happen to the system, or they can take information out of the system that I have no control over, do I care about that as a risk? And in some ways you may not care, in some ways you do, but that's starting in supply chain risk management, you have to ask that question, do I care?
We should point out that a PROM is a programmable read-only memory chip, and the EEPROM is an electrically programmable, and so these are chips that are programmed by computer systems. And so that means that even if a supplier, a chip maker, is totally legitimate or trying to be, or, you know, is a totally legitimate certified supplier, their systems could be breached and the wrong information, maybe it's far-fetched, but the wrong information or malicious information could get programmed into the chips that they sell that they think are fine. I mean, is that too much of an extension, or can that really happen?
It can really happen. You can cause a system to fail at will. I mean, we have a lot of examples. Some examples are hard to find, but some examples are relatively easy. You see a couple examples in the last year or two involving Lenovo laptops. You know, there was a Lenovo service engine embedded. It's basically a BIOS rootkit embedded in laptops that were shipped and delivered to consumers. And before you had done anything with this laptop, it would send information out of that system back to the company. That's not necessarily put there for malicious means, but it demonstrates what can be done by somebody that has access to the supply chain. They can get information into and out of a system at the BIOS level below the operating system level, so you have no ability to know it's even happening.
And so you should put black masking tape over the camera on your laptop as a matter of good practice anyway then, huh?
Yeah, and we should all wear our tinfoil hats. I think, yeah, as I said, this is a really tough problem, but, you know, we really need to think, where we are in 2015, and I think for Cybersecurity Awareness Month, this is a good thing to remember. If you are a government agency or a government contractor or even a private company that has systems with sensitive information in it, and you're not considering supply chain risk, you're wrong today. And that's not to say that you're not in good company, because lots of people don't really know where to start. But you really have to start with asking the question, you know, if something were to happen with this widget that I'm purchasing, where an adversary would be interested in it and they could get information in or out of it or cause unwanted effects, would I care? And so this goes back to the question you asked about what are the requirements. In the Department of Defense side, we see a lot of requirements being levied in the acquisition regulations, the DFARS. For federal departments and agencies, we look to the special publication 800-161, which provides some good risk management frameworks and advice and guidance. And then for non-federal systems, we look at something like NIST 800-171 for the protection of classified information or unclassified information.
And so what questions do those guidances give you to ask suppliers when you're evaluating bids and so forth? What can a contracting officer's representative, what should they ask to get some idea of how good the supply chain is of that supplier?
It's a great question. So first, I'd say we don't really have a coherent national strategy on how to manage this because everybody's trying to figure out what's the best way to manage it without putting undue burdens on contractors. So this becomes a shared responsibility between the program manager, their security personnel, their acquisition personnel, and the intelligence personnel. So some of the things that we can do in this space, you can do enhanced due diligence or due diligence on your contractors if you are concerned about risk for the system that you're procuring. So looking into a lot of the things that we already look at in terms of foci risks and the background of the business. And, in fact, some of the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, gives for classified systems the ability to exclude contractors based on information you collect through those processes. As a contractor, what we need to be aware of now, and we saw this pushed out recently, and it's actually still open for comment right now, that they're putting in reporting requirements for cybersecurity, which it doesn't say supply chain, but supply chain is embedded in this, and it pushes the responsibility for contractors that contractors have to pay attention to their subcontractors and their entire supply chain. And so just as the government's doing due diligence on contractors, contractors need to do due diligence on their subcontractors and their supply chain to make sure that they're not buying from unauthorized sources.
We're speaking with Vince Crisler. He's a partner at Fortalice Solutions and CEO of Dark Cubed. And so that means that as a buyer, you really have the right to ask to see what companies are supplying the company that you're buying from.
Yeah, you know, you can put in specific language as you develop a risk management plan and you say these are the risks I'm concerned about and this is how I want to manage it. You can request contractors follow those. We're also seeing more examples in procurements where the government doesn't really know what to do. And so what they're putting into the procurement is saying, okay, the contractors need to provide us with a supply chain risk management plan to tell us how you're going to manage this risk. And if you're at all concerned about supply chain system risk with a system you're buying, you know, even if you don't know how to manage that risk, I think it's a great idea to ask people bidding on that work to say, all right, what would you do? And now you have, at least have a chance from an evaluation criteria perspective to see how people respond, how they understand the risk.
And what do we know about the way industry handles this? I mean, isn't there a Society of Automotive Engineers standard for the supply chain and ensuring, especially in semiconductors, what it is that you are buying?
Yeah, so this is where the issue gets really complex. As you look into industry, you know, supply chain means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. On one hand, it could be making sure that the supply chain risk I have as a commercial company is I want to make sure that if I'm producing parts for a system, that my supply chain risk is that those parts are always available so I can build the system and get it delivered. Other concerns in industry have to do with counterfeit and genuine parts. And they're not necessarily, they are concerned about, you know, delivering counterfeit parts to customers, but really for them it's about the financial side of it. Is if you're producing a product that's valuable, you don't want somebody else producing it at half the cost and taking away your sales. So, yeah, there are lots of other industry guidance and requirements, but I think at the end of the day you can get lost in those. And I would bring it back to this idea that, you know, if you're in the government or with a government contractor dealing with sensitive systems and you're not considering supply chain risk in 2015, that you're making a mistake. And considering it doesn't mean you have to take action. You just need to ask those questions. I think a key point in supply chain risk is everybody's listening for this big bang event, like where a compromised system or a government system is brought down because of supply chain risk. So we're listening for that big bang. We should really be listening for that slow hiss of sensitive information leaving these systems because of malicious hardware and software embedded in these systems.
And not to belabor it, but there is also the issue of distribution, because a lot of manufacturers, the small ones, or even some of the major size ones, don't buy their parts from directly from manufacturers and OEMs. They buy them through distribution. And now distribution is supposed to, legitimate distributors have a letter of supply from the parts manufacturers that they represent. But there are a lot of gray marketeers in there that somehow get into the supply chain also.
Yeah, the length of some of the supply chains of the parts and products that we buy, and the number of times that some of these devices move around the world in their manufacturing process is pretty incredible. And to successfully manipulate a supply chain, you just have to be in one of those spots. And not to pick on Lenovo, but another great example of kind of how a supply chain attack could be exploited. There's this Lenovo Superfish. Lenovo Superfish is about adware that the manufacturer embedded in these systems for financial purposes, right? We want to redirect users to people that are paying more money to get ads served. And it's adware that's preloaded on your system, and this could be preloaded at any point in your supply chain, right? So a gray vendor could do this. That it actually alters your search results and changes what you see without you even knowing. So think of it, while, again, this was done by a company for business purposes, think of a malicious adversary in your supply chain that every computer you buy as a government agency or every computer you buy as a government contractor, they're able to manipulate your search results or change the information that you're seeing at a really small level that you may or may not even notice. And that's pretty scary to me.
I was going to say that's one of the worst things about the PC industry is all the junk they load on the hard drive before they sell it. It's not just Lenovo.
And to think that an adversary has the ability to accomplish those sorts of goals for much more malicious reasons is really scary. And, you know, these things like Superfish have been around for a while on these systems, and it comes up to some researcher saying, hey, this thing is doing something wrong, and this isn't right, but... You know, how many people were affected by these sorts of things and have no clue it's even happening? That's what's scary to me.
And a final question. The Defense Department used to have something called the Defense Electronics Supply Center, DESE. It's long been dismantled, and I think the ground that it stood on has been turned into some sort of a shopping mall in Ohio. But they used to keep parts for systems as they age. They would buy parts in advance and maintain an inventory of replacements, so that they didn't have to go to the gray market when the time came to replace a part. Is that something that maybe the government ought to think about reviving, even though it could be a little bit expensive?
I think the government, there are parts of the government that are thinking about things like that. So what are the most sensitive critical systems that we deal with as the government that we need to make sure that there are spares available in the event that something happens, that we are not going to be at the mercy of the supply chain? Should we do that more often? I think it really goes back to that risk, that question. And I don't think enough people are out there, and I said if you're not doing supply chain risk, you're wrong right now. And I don't think enough people out there are really asking the question of, you know, do I care about this system that I'm procuring? And if we're not asking the question, you know, around supply chain risk and how to manage those risks, then we're not coming to the mitigation side of the mitigation I need may be a warehouse of pre-approved parts or pre-inspected parts, or, you know, this pre-approved pre-inspection process is just one way to manage this risk. Other ways are blind buys where you don't even reveal that it's you buying these systems, so it removes the ability to target. Diversification buying from multiple suppliers and looking at the differences between them. So there are a whole lot of mitigations that can be implemented, but if you're not asking the risk management question up front, you're not going to get to the mitigations on the back end.
All right. Vince Chrysler is a partner at Fortilis Solutions, CEO of Dark Cubed. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.